Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
Hey, once again, it is time for us, those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher, Jeff Smith, down in Florida now. By the way, before you jump in, get a message on Facebook. Facebook.com/golf guys,
right?
From a gentleman who just found us recently, the podcast online.
Cool.
And he was extolling the virtues of listening, and he lives in Florida.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. So I told him, that you were in Bonita Springs.
Yeah, I am.
And he said, well, he lives on the other side of Florida, but he was headed to Fort Myers this weekend, and he may check you out. So,
well, he should.
Yes. That's anybody who's in Florida temporarily for lives there, visits there, vacations there. Bring your sticks.
Come
call
on,
Jeff. Play better by the time you leave.
Let's get it done, man.
It is.
Let's have fun with it too.
Yeah. Cause nothing is not fun with Jeff. Okay.
Look, I want to have some fun when I'm talking about golf.
Yeah. I mean, golf is fun. And if you can't have fun talking about it, how can you have fun doing it?
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with you?
That's,
right?
You know, come on. You know, all these people, and that's one of the things that really ticks me off. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about. Well, that is the major thing we're going to talk about today is things that tick us off on a golf course. And one of the things, you know, is you invite friends because you like their friends, right? That means they share conversations. They share the same senses of humor, the same likes and stuff that you do. And then some of them get on the golf course, man, and they completely do a 180. They're like super serious, man.
Too irritable, right?
Yeah.
There's like, they just get to be a little bit too, I don't know. I mean, it's like, hey, wait a minute. What happened to the fun we're having here?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're not supposed to do that. I'm like, what do you mean? That's exactly why we're out here. Come on.
Yeah, like I get
some of these peeps are just a little too serious.
There's a thing now, and I can understand for some reason. I think it was the golf announcers who started making it sound like you needed to be really quiet when you played golf.
Oh, yeah. I think that's right. Like they're supposed to be whispering because if we whisper, we won't break their concentration.
Yeah, and concentration is so important. All those guys now that spent all that money on those speakers that magnetically connect to the frame of the golf cart and blast classic rock at 108 decibels, they don't bother me, man.
Turn
the music off. No, I'm not going to turn the music off. What's wrong with you?
John, I'm telling you, I find that the people who want to play music on the golf course hang around other people like them, and it's all okay until they run into Judge Smales.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, music is illegal at Bushwood.
That's right. We don't do that here.
Well, you know, and I've been at places that really, you know, they frown upon these things at this establishment, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. I do. I really understand. So I think that everybody who, you know, is the speaker and music crowd needs to at least pay attention to where they are and who's around them. Because, yeah, they like the music and, yeah, they like it loud enough for others to hear it. And they act like they don't care until, of course, they're really irritating somebody else. And it's like, all right, let's at least have a little bit of courtesy for the people who don't like it. And the people who don't like it, don't be so damn irritated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm out here for the scenery and I'm out here for the tranquility and the silence of it. Like, really? Then stop cussing and kicking your bag.
And the guys who tell me I can't concentrate with the music on. I've seen you play. It makes no difference.
Right. Maybe you could use a little music and relax a little bit.
That's right. Get in a rhythm. Come on, let's go. You know,
right. Look, everybody's got to chill out on that one, right? It's always one of those things. Well, I can't do this because that guy's wearing loud pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, look, I think if everybody basically understood, all they had to look around is just say, let's all get along on that. It's not, neither of those two things is that big a deal. I don't know. I don't like hoodies. I don't like those joggers. I don't like those joggers either. God, they're stupid. God, they're stupid. I'm telling you, this is the dumbest looking thing I have ever seen. I don't care who thinks that those are great. I think those are just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Anyway, it's like where, like, I didn't even like them when they're the uniform in baseball. Cause right. That's kind of where it's that same look, right? Tight around the ankles, got the little thing going down, that little stripe going down the leg and all that stuff. I thought it was stupid then too.
Yeah. I got you. I'm with you. Yeah.
But it just, I don't know, something about it that's just dumb on a golf course. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I didn't ever got the fact as doing just a little aside on fashion. I don't understand why you can't wear cargo shorts on high class golf courses. I mean, I'm cool with it. I'm not going to, you know, fight it and anything, but why?
They look dumb.
Well, of course they look dumb, but they look dumb at Kmart too, or Walmart, or whatever stores you go to.
Right. But that's what it is. They just don't like looking. It looks a lot of the old stuffy crowd just goes, oh, it looks sloppy. They look like a bum.
Yes.
It's a nice place. Like, okay, I understand. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
You want people to look gentlemanly.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't want to dress the way they want you to dress, then don't play there.
Here's the other thing too. They got the hoodies now. Everybody, that's like the latest thing for people to complain about.
Yeah.
You see people, PJ Tour guys wearing hoodies now and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, and they weren't wearing them when it wasn't going to be like a fashion statement. But then all the clothing manufacturers say, well, it's a fashion statement, so we're going to put it on our tour players because we got them under contract. So then they can go, see, Justin Thomas has got one on.
Yeah.
We're going to put it in every golf shop because Justin Thomas got one on. Well, you freaking put it on him anyway.
Yeah. Under penalty.
Right? We have no idea at all if there was this smorgasbord of clothing that Justin Thomas could be given and wear, if that was one of the pieces that he would pick up himself and decide that he wanted to. We have no idea because he doesn't really get to.
I can guarantee you that he doesn't. I get
sell the outfit and they know that he's the mannequin for it.
Yeah. I get emails every Thursday or Wednesday, whenever they come in. Yeah. Wednesdays from clothing manufacturers that show you the outfit that their guy is going to wear each day of the 4 days of the next tournament.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was about to mention the same thing. It's like, we all can do this. We all can understand that they are being handed these clothes. Yes, they fit them well. Right. But nonetheless, here's your Thursday outfit. Here's your Friday outfit.
Yep.
Here's your Saturday outfit. Here's your Sunday outfit. Yep. Make the damn cut so we can do it. So we can get it all right.
That's right.
That's our job.
Make the cut. You don't get to keep the last two.
But that's what they're trying to sell.
Yeah.
And here's the funny part about that is since I've been a club professional and I've bought clothing, they're selling that stuff to me to get in my golf shop 6 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time Justin Thomas or Rory or Jordan Spieth has it on them on television, it's already in my shop
on a rack, ready to go.
They already know. They already, this stuff is so well scripted.
Yeah.
I mean, literally it's almost as well scripted as say the NFL
or wrestling, maybe even wrestling.
Yeah, right. Something like that. But they're not messing around with that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got
these guys have contracts. They tell them exactly what's going to wear. They show up at the event. They don't even have. If you notice when tour players get off their helicopter and they get out of their rental car and all this and the bags that they carry, They're small.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is lugging the clubs, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they're just carrying the small little bag. You know why? Because everything's there waiting on them.
Yeah.
The brand new pair of shoes is there.
Yeah.
Pretty sure their underwear is there, too. Socks.
Yeah. The whole thing, socks, right? The whole nine yards. Yeah. And gloves. Reams. Thousands and thousands of brand new gloves.
These guys on TV, there's not a crease in their shoes. Not one of them. They haven't worn those shoes yet.
Nope. Right? Not at all.
You see that and you're like, okay, brand new hats, brand new everything.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. And that's.
So it makes you wonder, would these guys have ever chosen? Somebody else has decided that hoodies were going to come into fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or made
somebody
it.
Somebody decided that.
Yeah. Yeah. They decided they were going to forge the fashion trend.
That's right. They're going to create the demand for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That started with the Ryder Cup team, didn't it?
And they sell it to us in the golf shops going, just wait. You'll see them on TV. People are going to come in and get and want these things. Promise me. You've got to buy two dozen of those or you're missing the boat.
Well, another week, you're going to be at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando.
Yeah, that's right.
And all of the manufacturers are going to be there. And they're going to have all of the stuff that all the pros are going to be wearing on TV all this coming season.
Of course.
And it's all going to be there and you're going to have to buy it.
Yeah.
Because they're going to say, hey, this is what this is what Rory's going to be wearing. This is what, Justin Thomas, all those people you mentioned, this is what they're going to be wearing.
Well, here's the question now. Like, yep, here's what John Rahm's going to be wearing. Really? Where can I see it?
Oops. Oh, well, you win a few, you lose a few people. I just wonder, and you know, we're going to have to take a quick break here real quick, but I just wonder what happened when the crew neck golf shirts
became
very fashionable.
Yeah.
How about all these have to have a collared shirt or you can't play golf courses? What happened to those guys? They changed that rule real quick, didn't they?
Yeah. All it took was Tiger to wear it.
Yeah. Loaded up the crew necks on the racks and collars. Who says you have to have a collar? We're cool. All right. We are those weekend golf guys. Things that tick us off. We'll be right back.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Defense Attorneys, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. If you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn how you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. We're offering a free $250 Visa gift card to show you how we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. Call today for your complimentary free consultation and learn how to get your $250 Visa gift card. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back, those weekend golf guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor Jeff Smith. And we are talking to you about things that tick us off. I have another podcast.
About golf. Not just
in general, no. I have another podcast I do with a gentleman who works with us. And it's called The Approach Shot. And we interview athletes and authors and celebrities, quasi-famous people who play golf. And we talked to them about their careers and about their golf game. And last week, we talked with Fred Barnett, Arkansas Fred from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay. Fast man, but he lives in the Bahamas now.
Well, good for him.
Yes. And he drinks while he plays golf, and he smokes cigars while he plays golf, as do a large number of people.
That would be a retirement job, is playing golf while relaxing.
Yeah.
Right?
But it was funny because his drink of choice at home is bourbon.
Yeah.
But he won't drink bourbon while he's smoking a cigar. And he has reasons because he is a connoisseur. I had no idea what he was talking about, but we just let him go. But
I thought he just didn't want to double up on the things that taste like crap.
He drinks scotch.
Oh, he did double up on the things that taste.
Talking about things that taste like crap.
My God, why don't he just have a piece of watermelon all at the same time? I'd hit the trifecta.
But that's one thing that a lot of people don't like, because a cigar is a very distinctive odor. Can we put it that way? Which some people can tolerate, others cannot.
Yeah.
And the smoke wafting around tends to bother some people.
Yeah, it does. I got over that.
You're in the outdoors. If you can't smoke in the outdoors without people complaining about it, you know, then stop hanging around with those people.
Look, if I don't like the smell of that particular cigar, I'm just going to step aside and let the smoke go by me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of getting bothered, I got a guy that I know from back in Columbus, Indiana, that anybody lights up a cigar in the group, he turns and says, "You know, I'm allergic." And we're like, Jerry, go upwind.
Yeah.
Not downwind.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine. But he just has a thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's that guy.
He's that guy.
Yeah. And what happens to that guy oftentimes finds himself hard to find a partner to play with.
Yeah.
No?
He does. He does. I hate to say it, but that's so true.
Yeah.
Look, I don't really care. Because some cigars don't have such a stench about them that I just want to move. And some do.
They do. Yeah,
some do. I just move.
Yeah.
I don't even ask the guy who's smoking them to not smoke them or to walk away from them or do anything. I just readjust myself and we're still talking.
Yeah.
Because I'm not bothered by the guy's cigar.
Yeah.
If I don't like the smoke smell, because some of them really don't smell all that bad.
No. Some
really do.
Yeah.
Some of them, I don't know what that thing is, but it didn't come out of anything. There's nothing in nature that smells like that. That's like burning tires. What are you doing smoking that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some that are out there like that.
There is a gentleman that we know that has played with us on many an occasion who consumes alcohol.
Oh, yes, definitely. I know who we're talking about.
In copious amounts.
Yeah.
And the only vestige of him drinking more than he should have is the volume of his speaking voice.
Yeah, that's right.
As he gets around the 15th and 16th hole.
You can hear that dude in the clubhouse.
Yes, you can.
Here's the thing. That just prior to that, though, prior to the decibel level going up, he can putt better.
Yes, he can. I think he does the math. If he can see two holes in front of him, he just kind of shoots for the middle.
Exactly right. Going, yeah, I think I can do that.
Yeah, it kind of works better.
See a couple of balls, a couple of putter heads.
Yeah.
Feet when he looks down.
Which one of these do I hit now? But that guy is another guy who might at times find it difficult to be invited out to play golf. Because 5 hours is way too long to drink continuously.
Yeah. And the people, you know, I don't drink. I don't drink on the golf course. I don't. And it's, to me, playing with somebody who's drinking is one thing. But playing with somebody who's drinking more than they ought to be drinking is when I have now not having any more fun.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, come on, there's a point, but that's the trouble with all the time. You know, you get people to start drinking and they're happy. So they keep drinking.
Yeah.
Because they want to be happier. The next thing you know, nobody's happy. And they're puking on the cart tires.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, hey, come on. Somebody's got to clean that up, dude. Right? A poor cart attendant.
Yeah. Right?
So, I mean, we got to be careful with all those things. Can't just go out there just willy-nilly ticking people off.
Yeah.
You know? Some of those guys, you know, they're always the... They're the loud ones, and they're the guys that they have the, you know, there's a handful of people on the golf course that just kind of flat out irritate everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you did wrong, guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think out of all the guys that you want to throat punch on the golf course, that might be the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
It definitely is, because he doesn't know either. Yet he is very willing to describe in great detail what it is you did wrong.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And when he does something that screws up, he automatically spits out the reason.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I messed it up.
Or most of the time it was somebody else's fault for bothering him.
Yeah. Your music's too loud.
Maybe. Right.
Yeah. You belched in my backswing.
Can't believe that cigar smell is bothering me so badly. Yeah. Right.
I got smoke in my eye.
Yeah. Whatever. Right. But I think that's the guy, like, I think universally across golf, across the world, I think out of all the people and all the things that irritate golf as a general rule, golfers as a general rule, is that guy.
Yeah.
Is the I know what you did wrong and I want to tell you guy.
Yeah.
I think that's the one. I think that if you didn't have that guy, and you put slow play guy in your group, I think people would trade the slow play guy in for that and take that trade every day.
Well, you know who's even worse or maybe just as bad on a flip side of the coin as to I know what you did wrong guy is the guy who tells you how to do what it is you're about to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kind of goes in the same personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trait. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know,
hey, John, let me tell you how to hit the shot. Look at this. I'll show you. I know how to do this. Here, let me show you.
Here's what you're going to want to do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to take this 6-iron out right now. I want to line it up right onto your side of your skull. And I want to rip one 300 yards up the middle with a 6-iron.
Let's see if this golf ball will fit.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Those guys are terrible.
Yeah, there's other things, right? The slow play guy. I mean, look, nobody's in love with a slow play guy. But it's the guy who's like unprepared to play, and that's why he's slow. I think that irritates people more than the guy who just saunters and doesn't walk briskly, right? There's because one of them is just slow generally.
Right.
But when somebody's like not ready to play when it's their turn and then they're unaware of things in life, like, hey, guess what? You're on a golf course and there's your ball and your clubs are behind you and get out of your cart and go get a club and go hit it on the green. Mm-hmm. They don't even know that because they're too busy telling their story or whatever they're doing, texting on their phone or talking on the phone or whatever it is. They're not engaged. And they're not even in it. I think that irritates people more than just the guy who walks slowly.
Well, the guy... Maybe even no excuse. The guy who sits in the cart watching his cart partner play his ball. And only then, after that shot is complete, does he get out of the cart, pick a club, saunter over to his ball, and start his shot routine.
Yeah, that kind of stuff right there is just a huge waste of time. And then everybody else is like, okay, come on. Just don't make me stand there and watch this clown.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It just gets to be an irritant.
Sometime today, buddy.
If that's you, a couple of suggestions, if that's you, people. How about that you pay attention to, hey, while it's other people's turns, can I prepare?
Exactly. And there's a lot more suggestions the guys got coming too, but we're going to have to do this first. Talk about being slow and hanging you up there and anticipation. We are those Weekend Golf Guys, and we'll be right back.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in taxes, please listen to this important message. The IRS is aggressively hiring and quickly ramping up their tax collection team. Act now and protect yourself with a call to Tax Alliance. Don't let the money you owe the IRS keep you up at night and ruin your life. You may be surprised at how much having Tax Alliance on your side can protect you from the IRS collections and help you save thousands on what you owe. Here's what a customer had to say.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job helping me through a quite difficult situation, saving me tens and thousands of dollars that I would have been paying for many years to come.
Tax Alliance is rated A+ with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints. If you owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call Tax Alliance now for a free consultation. 800-987-1097. 800-987-1097. That's 800-987-1097.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, we are back. Those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith. We're talking about things that tick us off on the golf course. We're talking about slow play guy. Slow play guy who hangs out and is not ready to play, watches everything, watches the birds fly around, watches everybody else hit, and then goes, oh, well, maybe I should hit now.
If the guy that just wants to dawdle and be that guy and be unaware, there is a tee time that I want him to have.
Last one.
The one behind me, right? The one right behind me. That's what I want. Look, I don't need to be a dang jackrabbit. I don't have to play in 3 hours and come hell or high water. I'm going to go hands on hipping it all the way around, you know, because somebody else teed off in front of me.
Right.
No, I just don't want to be with the guy who's going to play so slowly that we're all going to watch the grass grow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't, you know, hey, while we're young, right? Come on, let's go.
That's right.
That's the guy. I don't want to go to play with that guy a second time ever. Yeah. Because it just ruins everybody's mojo.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all have a normal human pace. And then we find somebody who's the boat anchor of the group.
Mm-hmm.
The guy plays so slowly that you can watch the paint dry on the golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff. You're like, mm-hmm. please, somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody do something. Right? It's just, you just look like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Let's dump this guy.
Yeah. Move on.
I'll get out and walk and just go. I'll take my bag, sling it over my shoulder and say, see you, fellas.
Yeah.
You're out of here waiting. I'm going to go hit my next shot and the one after that. And then the one after that.
Yeah, I'll see you in the bar when you're done. Tell you the slow play guy that really pisses all of us off. This is the guy. It's a par. I'm going to set the scenario. Okay, it's a par five. You pull up to the tee, and your group on the tee is the third group on the hole. There's a group close to the green or on the green. There's a group who have obviously already arrived at their drives. And they're ready for their second shots. Yeah. And in that group, as they're 263 yards from the green, is a guy who pulls out a 3-wood and just sits there taking practice swings, waiting.
Yeah.
And waiting. And waiting for the green to clear. It finally clears. And then you're still waiting for him to hit his third shot. Because he topped his second shot and it went about 20 yards.
That's right. And then
that guy needs to be shot.
If that's guy in my group and he pulls that out and you just stand there and look at him and go, we waited for that.
For that, exactly.
Right? But there it's always I call him unrealistic guy, right?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. He just killed his driver a good whopping 215, 220.
Right.
Off a tee with his driver.
Yeah.
Full wind up, full send, pumping his fist, slapping his buddy on the arm, going, look, I got a hold of that one. Yeah. And he's got 260 left in.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do that a second time. This time it's going to be off the ground with a 3-wood, and he's going to make it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got news for you, fella. You'll be the first guy in history to do it.
Now, on the other side, and as a little entertainment you can do for yourself, if you go to Facebook.com and go to the League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers, which is a great group that you should be a part of anyway, there is a video of a golfing group, and one person in the group is toying with the idea of hitting his shot, but knows that since there are people on the green, the chances have increased that he will hit into them.
Yeah.
And that's true, because when you don't want to hit it too hard, you don't overtry, and therefore usually swings more smoothly and have a better contact and better ball flight.
And oddly enough, then that one could go on there and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any way I could get it there.
And what happens in the video is he hits and kills somebody on the green. And the rest of the video is a conversation between him and God. I mean, it's funny. You just got to check it out. Facebook.com, League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers. Check it out there. But anyhow, yeah, that guy. And for some reason, that guy's always in front of me. I don't know why. Maybe it's just that all of us at times have that urge or that feeling of grandeur or whatever, or let our ego get in the way. Like, yeah, I can get there from here. No, you can't. Just hit the ball. Okay.
Right.
And if you think you can get there with a 3-wood, then hit a 9-iron, because we don't have time for you to sit there and wait.
Yeah. And they're like, come on, I can do this. And we're like, we've seen you play.
Yeah, exactly.
we just stop. Stop right now.
Yeah. Please.
Stop while you're ahead. Really? Mm. You're already on your shot. You're only on your 87th shot, and we're on the 13th hole. Let's go. Believe me, we've had lots of time to be counting these strokes, right? With these little tally marks. Based on all the shots you've taken, yeah, we got plenty of time to count.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. So there's other people on the golf course, right? The guys who are painfully unaware and will make all kinds of noise, like when it's not their turn and they're interrupting everybody. Mm-hmm. Who's actually trying to concentrate. There'll be, you know, hands in the bag of chips, crunch, 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 munch, munch, munch.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing the phone down in the cart because they're mad at who they were just yelling at on the phone or texting or something.
Mm-hmm.
They get out and they're, you know, digging in their golf ball pockets for all kinds of things, your golf bag pockets. You know, like, okay, let's just have a little courtesy.
Yeah.
Just a little, right? The guy who is that guy, he's the same guy that after he gets done playing and he's walking back to the cart and you're settling into your shot, he just walks back and slams his club into his bag and the clubs go clanging around right in your backswing.
Yeah.
Same guy.
Yeah. Or the guy who opens the beer in the middle of your backswing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, and it's like he was waiting for that to happen.
Exactly.
He's trying to time it so perfectly. I was going to see if I could get it to happen. See if I could happen right at the moment that you touched your ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's great. You, 10 seconds couldn't happen, right? 5 seconds, 2 seconds later couldn't have been. Nah. Yeah. You had to, yeah. You know,
or the guys who have a card partner and they take their shots and they start talking like nothing else is going on in the course. You know,
that's radio guy too.
Yeah.
That's speaker guy.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Oblivious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaker guy, because after a while, I mean, you can tune out anything.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as the music's not blaring, you know, when I said earlier in the show, 108 decibels, that was a gross exaggeration. doesn't have to be. And most of the people I know do not play it anywhere near that loud.
Yeah.
But still it becomes background noise and, you know, you don't have to worry about it. It's not jarring. But when somebody shoots and suddenly starts talking, especially if it's something interesting that you want to hear, like some juicy gossip or something. I mean, it is going to bother you. You're going to listen and you're going to need to, ask them to, please shut up.
Yeah. You know, there's so much truth in that. Here's some other stuff that's interesting. Okay. So Mr. Oblivious that we just got done talking about.
Right.
He's also the guy that's essentially just playing by himself, even though there's three other people.
Right. Yeah.
He drives to his ball, even if he's got to pass yours or right. pass somebody else's. And then he doesn't help you look for your ball because he's not aware that you're even there.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guy sitting next to him is always going, "Hey, John, my ball's back there."
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He turns around and goes, "Get it." After he's already hit his shot, and the guy standing next to him, sitting next to him, has always got his head in his hands going, "Why yeah. am I playing with this guy?" Because yeah. they're just into themselves so much that they just can't realize that there are other people around, that they're actually, it's a social game, and yeah. they're being antisocial. They're the guy that's going to hit the bunker shot. While you're doing your thing, he's going to walk out of the bunker, rake the bunker, lean over the edge of the bunker, drop the rake, kick the sand off his shoes.
Yeah.
You know, like take the wedge and smack it on the bottom of his shoes nice and loud, right when you're in the middle of your putt, mm-hmm. and drop his clubs on the side of the green and then go up and mark his ball, all while other people are doing their thing.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And he has a friend who we'll talk about when we come right back. There's two more things that really tick me off. The Mr. Oblivious's friend, and then another group of people who we all have dealt with to one degree or another every time we have played golf. We are those weekend golf guys. What out there really ticks you off? Let's stop doing it this season, okay? We'll be right back.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-239-6987. 800-239-6987. 800-239-6987. That's 800-239-6987.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back, those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith, Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher. We're talking about things on the golf course that happened that really piss us off, or things that you might do, maybe you do or do not realize it ticks people off. We just talked about Mr. Oblivious, the guy who doesn't really pay attention to anything else going on with the other three people in his foursome.
Yeah, that's the dude that probably people are going to throat punch second. I think the first guy, you know,
we're talking about Mr. What You Did Wrong. And the second guy is Mr. Oblivious.
Mr. Oblivious, I think he's the second guy in line to get throat punched.
Yeah. Let me tell you that another guy that I run into a lot, and that's Mr. Oblivious to his own game.
Yes.
The guy who tees off and you know where his ball is, yet he sends you in a totally different direction because God knows what it was he was watching. But it wasn't what he did. It may be what he hoped he had done.
But when his ball is careening into the trees and rattling around in them, yeah. And he says, no, I'm down the fairway.
Yeah.
We're like, which one? And what are you calling a fairway?
Or the guy, the same guy who pulls up to a ball thinking, well, this is where I think I hit my ball. And just takes another shot. Doesn't check.
Yeah.
You know, you get up
to
the green.
80 yards in front of the one he actually hit.
Yeah. And it's in, and it's like, man, you hit the wrong ball. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. Yeah, well,
you hit mine,
I'm going to take a par on this hole. And it's your fault. But the thing that really we all have dealt with, and I hate to cast aspersions upon members of my generation. It's not always old guys, but most often it's old guys. But it's the group, the foursome on the green, putting like they're putting for the world championship. The flag's out. One guy is down on his scrunched down like a Yogi Berra. And he's, you know, checking, plumb bobbing with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next guy does it after this guy misses the putt. Then the next guy does the same crap. Then the third guy does the same thing. Then the fourth guy does the same thing. And then they all start the rotation over again. It's like, guys, take a two and move on. There are people out here, you know?
Right. This is, yeah, when you're playing in the scramble and everybody's reading it, no, it's got to go right over this mark. And it's, no, you pulled that one. Oh, no, you pulled, no, it's got to be, I'm like, oh my God, somebody shoot every one of those people.
Yes.
Get up, read the putt, look at it. And if everybody would just shut up and be a ball watcher and see what the ball did. Really, literally, by the time the second guy has hit his putt, you know exactly what happened.
Yeah,
you know where it's going to go. You watch the first one, and you watch the second one, and you're like, I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
By the time you, if you're the third guy in that foursome putting, and somebody has to tell you anything at all, like, oh, no, that was a good line. They just hit it too hard because it's 8 feet past. I think we know. I think we know.
We could figure that out. Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you ever know if it's 8 feet past, if it was actually a good read? No, it just lipped out, just barely, just grazed the lip.
Yeah.
It's almost, and that's got to be.
And we
line.
Know how centripetal force works, man. It was going to go in, but it rimmed the hole and shot out.
Know, now that we brought up the whole playing in a scramble thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So guy number one in the scramble as he putts, he jumps up there. Because he wants to get it out of the way. And he'll say, I'll show you guys the line so you can have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's another guy that basically is saying to everybody else, I'm a terrible freaking putter, and I don't want to handle the pressure of you guys potentially missing and have to rely on me. So he jumps up there first.
Yeah.
In that case, by God, point it right at the hole so everybody can see what's really going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care if yours goes in or not. But at least start it at the hole. If that's your purpose in going up there, jumping up there to go, I'm a terrible putter, I can't handle the pressure, start the ball right at the hole and let everybody see what could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. So the rest of these better putters, or at least more confident putters, would at least be shown a line. But those guys who jump up and just get up there and willy-nilly slap it, you can't learn anything.
No. Especially the guys who start before the rest of the group gets there.
It was almost a rant. I don't want to go on a rant.
Yeah, don't go a rant.
No, I'm saving that one for the USGA.
Yeah, we've got more of those coming this season, Pete, too, people.
Yeah, trust us, it's going to be another season. Because what? The USGA still exists. We know they're good for good material. It's like politicians and comedians. It's a steady dose of material. Comedians will never have a problem having enough.
Not at all. So anyhow, those are the
USGA, I will always have something to rant about.
Yes, and added to the list of things that people that piss us off are the rules officials. You have a rant to do. We've got a few moments left here, man. Do your rant about.
Okay.
Little Miss Ava.
Okay. So I got this girlfriend of the show. We all know her, Ava Bunker. She's doing great. She's a 16-year-old phenom and she's doing terrific. And she's down in West Palm Beach, Florida last weekend. She's playing in a big tournament, formerly the Junior Honda Classic. This one is just an IMG branded tournament. Anyway, so a little rules question within the group. Player A, who she's playing with, Ava's now player B, player C is the third player. So player A, you know, basically violated a rule, admitted it to what she had done. And the rules official said effectively, no, that's not violating the rule. But yet it's written right there, plain as day. You know, you're not allowed to move, bend, or break anything that's fixed and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she moved and bent. That's two of the three.
Right.
Doesn't have to be all three to make it a rule violation.
Mm-hmm.
You got to either move it, more bend it, more break it. Well, she did two of the three. And it was intentional. And the rules official said, nope, that's not it. Huh. Well, wait a minute. John, you've played golf for a long time.
Yes, I have.
When something seems so like the player is trying to, let's say, influence their line of swing to the ball, you already know that that's a no-no, right?
Yes, we know it's a no-no.
Here's an example of such thing. Ball sits in the rough. John, you witness your guy that's in your group go up and stand on the rough right dead behind his golf ball. He's standing there. He's not breaking it, but he sure is moving that grass and he sure is bending that grass for the expressed purpose of having a cleaner strike on the back of his golf ball.
Exactly. Yes.
Is that a rules violation?
Yes. I mean, not that I'd care in our group because I'd do it too, but yeah, if the USGA was watching, yeah.
All right.
I'd point it out.
Yeah, so something along those lines is pretty clear and obvious that you can't do that stuff.
So did anybody check the genealogy between player A and the rules official?
Well, oddly enough, we've come to find out that there was some sort of prior knowledge of each other.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay. That explains a lot, man.
You know, it's one of those big ones. And it also kind of goes to that rule one of golf, right? You're not allowed to do stuff like that, violate any of the rules. When you knowingly violate rules, you're disqualified for the tournament.
Yeah.
It should be that way, right?
Yeah. So she should have been disqualified, yet was given a pass by the rules official.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Isn't there a committee that can overrule one rules official?
Except that was the committee.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So Ava came in second?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It was a good tournament, right?
Well, I mean, you know, she knows.
Yeah.
You know.
We all know.
And player A knows.
Oh, player A knows.
Yeah.
The parent of player A knows, and the whole rules official player A knows, and all the people who are playing in the tournament, because they all had to go out and, you know, they took 20 minutes or so at the end to go back and recreate the scenario while everybody else had to wait, because of course that's, you know, trophy ceremony and all that stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was waiting and hearing about the whole thing. So everybody been playing in the tournament new.
And then there was an additional rules violation is that she signed the scorecard after admitting the rules violation. So that's another rules violation.
Right. So we're like, you know, you just look at it like, come on, just do the right thing once. Yeah. Just once.
Just once. That's all it takes. Anyhow, that's some of the stuff that ticks off not only us, but every golfer who has ever set foot on a golf course. So this year, because I am sure I have been guilty of some of those infractions. You have been guilty of some of those infractions. This year, just don't do it. Okay? Just keep in mind things that you do that are ticking off the people not only behind you, but with you and in front of you. The next time you go out and play some golf.
Don't cheat anybody.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile,
and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.